Today's show is sponsored by Betsy. Do you love the NBA? Do you love betting on the NBA? You should check out Betsy.com. They've been a top-rated sports book for over 20 years. They're safe, they have great customer service, and they're easy to use, and now they have a great basketball special. Sign up today, use the promo code HEAT10, and get $10 free just to try their service. That's promo code HEAT10. Locked On Heat is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you love this show, and I hope you do, check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer. Great daily podcasts from the NFL and the NBA for every team you can want. If you're a Miami Heat fan, you're probably a Miami Dolphins fan. Check out my Locked On Dolphins. Check out Locked On NBA with our host David Locke, or with our boss David Locke. Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Basketball and Football. If you're a fan of it, the Locked On Podcast Network probably has a show for you, hosted by experts and team insiders on a daily basis. Daily podcasts. Locked On Podcast Network is the fastest growing podcast network in the world, on planet Earth. So be sure to check out the rest of what the network has to offer. Also, go ahead and check out allyoucanheat.com. That's the site that I manage. We have a bunch of great writers. If you're looking for great written content on the Miami Heat this season, All You Can Heat is for you. allyoucanheat.com. Daily commentary, opinions, and analysis, just like this show, over at allyoucanheat.com. All right, on with the show.
Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the editor at allyoucanheat.com and the host of this program. My co-host, David Ramil, is still on vacation. Got a picture from him on a bridge wearing a beanie, so he's not on the beach like I thought. Probably somewhere cold. Still have no idea exactly where he is, but at least we know he's alive, so that means he must be returning soon or at some point. So that's some good news. The other good news is that the preseason is over, and in a couple of days we will have the first regular season game for the Miami Heat. And even more good news is it's Monday, which means it's time for the mailbag. But before I open up the mailbag, just want to briefly talk about the Miami Heat's decision to go with Rodney Magruder over Briante Weber and Beno Udrih. We've talked about it last week. Something I expected to happen based on the way, you know, number one, Magruder was playing. He was outplaying both of those guys based on the rotations and what the team needed. And that's exactly what happened. Magruder can contribute right now. Briante Weber couldn't. As much as a fan favorite he became because of his earnest defense and his energy and everything, and the way he got along with the other guys in the locker room, specifically Winslow and Josh Richardson, he wasn't ready. He was a year or two away. You know, he doesn't necessarily play well in the speed of the NBA game. You know, it's still something that needs to catch up with him. He struggles getting the offense into its sets, and just things tended to be disorganized when he was there, and it's not necessarily a knock against him. I think he's got a lot of really good attributes, but when you're 6'1", and you're only really limited to play that one position, and you still have a lot of work to do in the prime function of the point guard position, you're clearly not ready. Magruder is more versatile. He's 6'4", 6'5", 200 pounds, a shooting guard, small forward guy. He can move around. He can hit threes. He could guard three different positions. You know, so he's somebody that can come in and contribute right away. So that's why it made sense. And as far as Beno goes, I mean, if you're not going to have a backup point guard because Tyler Johnson is your de facto backup point guard, then why keep extra point guards on the roster where you can get more wings? And Magruder figures to be Justice Winslow's backup at this point. So we're going to get to all that later on in the show, because some of our mailbag questions touch on those subjects. But I did want to address that right away. Magruder is the 15th guy on the roster. Briante Weber, Beno Udrih have been waived, and the Heat's final 15 is set. So we know who their 15 players are, and we're ready to go for the regular season. All right, let's just get right into the mailbag, though. Our first question comes from Rachel Rose. She says, despite the Heat hiring a shooting coach and insisting that Winslow has improved, I haven't been encouraged by his perimeter shooting this preseason. Am I simply being too harsh? Have you seen an improvement, and what are your realistic expectations of Winslow this season? So yes, the Miami Heat did hire a shooting coach. He's been working with the entire team, but focusing a lot on Justice Winslow because it's clear he needs to work on his outside shot. shot 27.6% from three-point range last season. Defenses figured that out. They started playing off of him. It hurt Miami's spacing. It hurt what Justice Winslow could do off the dribble. Obviously, in today's day and age, you need to be able to hit that shot. He's been working on it. He's made 4 of 7 corner threes in the preseason, and he's made 5 of his 14 total three-pointers. That's 35.7%. That's a big leap. So, you know, 35%, that's pretty good as a three-point shooter. That's definitely respectable. I mean, and that's all Winslow has. Winslow doesn't have to go out there and be Steph Curry. He just needs to be better than less than 28%. If he's going around 35%, yeah, it was only 14 shots. It's a very small sample size, but that's what we have to go on right now. And just based on the aesthetics of his shot, it does look more compact in the upper body, where his elbows, you know, aren't, you know, all over the place when he's shooting, which is something you don't want to see. And then the other thing that really needed work was his footwork and his rhythm in his jump shot, getting his feet set under him quickly and directly underneath him and shooting it in rhythm. And before, you know, in his rookie season, his footwork was all over the place. It seems to be a little bit more consistent now, which is a very good sign. And those are the things when Winslow talks about working on his jumper, he always mentions his footwork and he always mentions just keeping his elbows straight and keeping the consistent stroke. One of the things he mentioned was playing with Team USA briefly during the summer and watching guys like Klay Thompson, whose stroke is exactly the same every single time they shoot it. And that's what he's striving for. That's what he wants. And he's not there yet. His shot is still a little, his form is still pretty inconsistent, but it's better than last year. We started seeing signs of that late last year and into the playoffs. Even though the percentages didn't necessarily get better, his form looked better. So you expect that the results and overall the percentages will follow with that. So I am encouraged, especially when you make 4 of your 7 corner threes. That's where the Heat are really going to need him to shoot well from. That's a big floor spacing area for offenses, and it's the easiest three to hit. And if he can start hitting that, the other ones will come. Again, 35.7% on 14 three-pointers this preseason. Small sample size, but Rachel, I am encouraged, and I expect him to get better. And from everything that we know about Justice Winslow, he's going to keep working. I mean, he works on it every time they practice. At the end of every practice, he's taking jump shots. So, my realistic expectations is probably something around, I don't know, 30 to 33% this year, which is still not great, but much better than last year. And again, respectable. He's going to, we tend to zero in on that 3-point shot, but he's going to have to do a lot of things well. And if he can just be a little bit, if he could be right around that range, 30 to 33% from 3-point range, that'll give him enough respect to take guys off the dribble, to get guys involved in the passing game and everything like that. It just, as long as guys aren't just completely playing off of him, that's going to be really important for him being a versatile offensive player. All right. Well, Vegas has the Miami Heat's over-under set at 36.5 wins. David and I haven't talked to you about that yet. We haven't talked about whether or not we think they'll go over or under that. And we'll get to that later this week before the regular season starts. But if you have a strong opinion on that already, you should go ahead and check out Betsy.com. If you love the NBA and you love betting on the NBA, you should check out Betsy.com, BETDSI.com. They've been a top-rated sportsbook for over 20 years, and they're safe. They have great customer service, and they are easy to use. And now they have a great basketball special for you. Sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. That's right. Sign up at Betsy.com today, and you get $10 for free. Hey, here's $10. Go make it more money. That's what sportsbooks are all about. Take $10, put it on the over for the Heat if you think they're going to go over, and bam, you've just won free money. Betsy's also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. Fast and easy payment of winnings is what Betsy is all about. They have hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. Also, you can get UFC. You can get Trump versus Clinton odds to bet on the elections. I mean, that's like free money at this point. Betsy even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at Betsy. So go to Betsy.com now. That's Betsy.com. Go there now and use promotion code HEAT10 and get your free wager and start winning right away. Again, that's promo code HEAT10. And you get $10 for free. And you get that promotion code. That's a winner. All right. On to our next question. This is Harold in Boynton Beach, Florida. Harold asks, what about trying to make a trade with the Utah Jazz for center Rudy Gobert or with the Kings for shooting guard Malachi Richardson? Why not get some young guys like this and start rebuilding? Harold, thank you for the question. Love the Rudy Gobert take. He's obviously a great defensive center, very young. Not sure where Malachi Richardson comes in. He's a backup guard for the Sacramento Kings, but you seem to like him. So maybe he's a diamond in the rough. And I think if the Heat are going to make a trade, that's the kind of player it's going to have to be for. I don't know that the Heat have anything that they can give Utah that would be able to pry away Rudy Gobert. I mean, the Heat could offer Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside, the both of them, for Rudy Gobert. I don't think the Jazz do it. They are very invested in him. But as far as like a young guard that maybe isn't being given an opportunity, or just a young player that's been not being given an opportunity that they think that they can get something out of, you know, a Hassan Whiteside type or a Tyler Johnson type or even a Rodney Magruder type, somebody that just kind of, you know, flew under the radar that they can pick up and utilize and create an opportunity for. I think that's what the Heat are looking for if they make a trade. Just because they don't really have assets to move. I mean, yes, you could trade Goran Dragic, but let's say you don't trade Goran Dragic. What are your other assets? You don't want to move Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson for young pieces because they're good young pieces. They're not trading Whiteside. I don't, like, the only asset that they really have is Josh McRoberts, and they've been trying to trade him for 2 years now, and they can't pull it off. So that's why I think you look at young players who might be going under the radar, maybe not being utilized correctly, and or utilized in a way that the Heat would utilize them to get the most out of them. That's kind of the right train of thought. Malachi Richardson, I don't know anything about him, full disclosure. I've never seen him play. But, you know, maybe a guy like that is somewhere that he could go if they're looking to fill roster spots. But for now, I think with the 15-man roster already finalized, I'm pretty sure this is what we're looking at. Maybe there's a couple of changes here and there. You know, if they're able to find a taker for Josh McRoberts by the trade deadline or something like that. If there's an injury to Goran Dragic and they decide they do have to go out and get a true point guard, depending on the severity of a potential injury, maybe that's something they decide to do. But honestly, I'm pretty sure that this is the roster they go to. If they do make a trade, it might be a deal involving, you know, it might be a big deal where it's a Goran Dragic trade. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Actually, we'll get to it right now. This is an anonymous emailer from Germany, because I didn't get his name or her name. I don't know. But this person from Germany asks, let's say the Magic aren't comfortable with Aaron Gordon at the three and come to the conclusion that Elfrid Payton's lack of shooting hurts them too much. So they decide to look for a proven starting point guard. A trade that works is Goran Dragic and Luke Babbitt in exchange for Aaron Gordon, Jody Meeks, and CJ Watson. What do you think? All right. Well, I think I understand where we're coming from here. There's a new coach, Frank Vogel, in Orlando. Maybe he doesn't like Aaron Gordon. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable using him at the three because a lot of people think he's a small ball four. But with Serge Ibaka in Orlando and so many other big men, Aaron Gordon is playing the small forward position. So maybe they decide that Aaron Gordon is not going to work out in that position. That would make sense, but it's not like an entirely new regime that's there in Orlando. Rob Hennigan, the GM, is the one that drafted Gordon. He's obviously still there. And he's very high on Gordon. Gordon seems like one of these guys that's the future of this team. And I don't see them moving Gordon for a 30-year-old point guard. Not to say that Dragic isn't good, but it's just not within their window. I'm not sure that's exactly what they're looking for right now. But with Jody Meeks, he's on an expiring contract. CJ Watson, small deal, 2 years left, veteran point guard. We're kind of thinking the right thing. Like, if you're trading Goran Dragic again, this is what you trade him for. You're not trading. I don't think you trade him for a Rudy Gay. I think you trade him for a young guy who is being misused in a system or in a team, and you're able to pry him away and then does fit the window of your young guys like Whiteside, Winslow, and Richardson, and Tyler Johnson. I think that's the kind of trade you make. I just don't think that the Orlando Magic would make this particular trade, but this is the right train of thought when we're thinking about, and look, I'm against trading Goran Dragic. I like Goran Dragic. I don't think that the Heat are willingly or actively looking to shop him around. But if they do trade Dragic, this is the kind of deal we're looking at. It's not going to be for another all-star. It doesn't make sense. Goran Dragic has all-star potential and ability. If you're going to trade him, you got to trade him for somebody that fits more of the window of this young team. So it's a good question. All right, moving on. This is Chris Leach asks, with the success of the three-guard alignments in the preseason, do you think that Deion Waiters and or Wayne Ellington will essentially be the backup small forwards? It's a good question because the Heat don't actually have a backup small forward. Justice Winslow is really the only true small forward on the roster. We spent a lot of time this preseason talking about how Goran Dragic was the only true point guard. The Heat really only had one true small forward, too. And with Tyler Johnson as the backup point guard, there is room in the backcourt because all these guys are playing different positions. And I do think that Josh Richardson will be the starter, but until then, when he gets back, he has an MCL injury. When he gets back from that, he'll be the starter. But for now, it'll be Deion Waiters. And with all these guys, with Tyler Johnson, Richardson, Waiters, and Ellington and Dragic, they have been playing a lot of three-guard lineups. And I expect that Dragic and Tyler Johnson will be paired. It'll be one of those two always paired with either Waiters, Richardson, Ellington, or Roddy Magruder. Magruder made that team, so we got to keep him in mind too. So in essence, I do think that Deion Waiters, he'll be guarding threes when he's that third guard. Wayne Ellington will guard threes. We saw that in the preseason. Roddy Magruder will guard threes. We saw that in the preseason. We really saw Roddy Magruder as the backup to Justice Winslow in a lot of ways. And Winslow is a guy that coaches compared to Magruder. And he's got enough size, so does Ellington, and so does Waiters as far as strength goes, to guard threes. They're going to be outsized, but with this new NBA, if you're switching all the time, you're playing a fast pace, you can get away with that. You just really got to stay in front of your opponent. So yeah, Chris, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see a lot of three-guard units when Winslow's off the floor. You're also going to see a lot of three-guard units when Winslow's on the floor, with Winslow playing the four, possibly. So yeah, that's exactly what the Heat are going to do. All right, Jeff Nicholas via Twitter. So all these questions before came through email. This one came through Twitter. You can tweet your mailbag questions to us at any point at Locked On Heat on Twitter. Jeff asks, do you see Josh Richardson or Tyler Johnson filling in at the bulk of the backup point guard minutes? It's going to be Tyler Johnson. That's really where he's thrived in the preseason. He's been very, very efficient. Josh Richardson is projected to be the starting two guard once he comes back from injury. So once he's there, I think you're going to see Tyler Johnson is comfortable coming off the bench. He's been very efficient facilitating the offense. And the team hasn't. So last season, when Tyler Johnson came in for Goran Dragic, who was injured for a few games, the offense really stalled and he really struggled as the starting point guard. He's really developed more in that area this summer and in the preseason. We've seen that. He's been much more efficient. He knows how to get the team into its sets. The offense is still worrying when he's in and when Dragic is out, which is a huge, which was one of the biggest developments of this preseason, low-key, because the Heat needed that. And that allowed Miami to go with Roddy Magruder, a more versatile player than a not-yet-ready Briante Weber and a veteran in Beno Udrih. And so Tyler Johnson's development in that area has really helped everything. So he's a guy that, I mean, Tyler Johnson, he compared himself to Manu Ginobili, not in a, you know, in a cocky way, but in a way that's what he aspires to be. A guy that comes off the bench, he's a one, he's a two, it doesn't matter. He just comes in, he helps facilitate offense, he helps score, he's a spark off the bench type guy. That's exactly the kind of thing that the Heat are going to be trying to get from him this season. So it's going to be Tyler Johnson. All right, and this is our last question. Big Pat, with all the Goran Dragic trade talk, isn't Goran's ability to help the development of the younger guys more value than trading him? And that's why I saved this question for last. I don't even know if I need to answer this. Again, Big Pat, with all the Goran Dragic trade talk, isn't Goran's ability to help the development of the younger guys more valuable than trading him? Yes. Yes, Big Pat, it is. And that's what I've been saying. And I do think that the only way we see a Goran Dragic trade this season is if by the trade deadline, the Heat are 10 games below 500 or just something, or it just doesn't look good, right? And they're saying, okay, look, we just got to trade this guy and get the most we can out of him because this is a major rebuild that we're facing, and he's our best asset. He's our most movable player. He doesn't fit our window. If they can get a starting caliber point guard in return, right? Dragic is an above average point guard. They just need an average starting point guard. So you downgrade your point guard, maybe somebody on an expiring deal or a couple or a 2 year cheap deal, and you get a draft pick in return. That's a deal that makes sense. Or a young player in return. That's a deal that makes sense to me, just to get more guys, more young guys that fit this window. But I don't see the Heat actively shopping Dragic, because that's exactly right. When he's leading the offense, when he's the starting point guard, guys like Richardson can play the two, and that's where he's going to develop. Richardson is a 3-and-D shooting guard first and foremost, and everything he can do around that, which he can, is extra, right? You don't want him as your primary ball handler, but Josh Richardson as a secondary or tertiary ball handler is very valuable. Tyler Johnson, same thing. You don't want him as your starting point guard because he's your Manu Ginobili. He's the guy that comes off the bench. He's that extra spark. He's that second wave that comes in. That's what you want from Tyler Johnson. Justice Winslow, you don't want facilitating too much because he's not a point guard. He's a versatile forward. There's all these guys. Deion Waiters, same thing. You want him to be a secondary ball handler. When you have Dragic there, you have somebody to build that offense around, and it allows these guys who you're trying to develop to play their roles and to play the roles that you want them to develop into. Not having Dragic there, now everybody's playing out of position and they're not developing on that same track that you wanted them developing on. So having Dragic there really does help the young guys. We saw that a lot in Miami's last preseason game when Dragic wasn't playing. He was resting, and the offense was all out of sorts and disorganized. And I said it then, and I'm saying it again now, that's his importance. You know, you saw it even more when he wasn't there. That's his importance. So exactly right, Big Pat. All right, well, that's a good mailbag. I like those questions. And as always, you can send those questions to our email address, lockedonheat@gmail.com. Send them to Twitter, lockedonheat. That's on Twitter. You can send your mailbag questions there too. Again, just big thanks to the questions. They've been flooding in the last few weeks. More questions than we've ever really gotten. We might have to start making cuts soon as far as deciding which ones we answer, because last week we had to do a two-parter. So we'll get to as many as we can all the time. The questions are great. Thanks again to Big Pat, Chris Leach, Jeff Nicholas, Rachel Rose, Harold and Boynton Beach, and that guy from Germany. Thanks again for those questions. That was great. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. David and I really appreciate it. And we wig out every time they're just flooding in. We're just like, this is really cool. So, all right. That's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter @LockedOnHeat or by email. Or you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities, or just say hi. That's lockedonheat@gmail.com. Big thanks to Betsy for sponsoring the show. Again, that promo code is HEAT10 and get $10 for your first free wager. That's all we have. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.